This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up. Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation of Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your dearly sending host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
10 days, Matt. 10 days till opening day.
Wow.
Countdown's on. It's coming fast.
Wow. Oh, yeah, 10 days. I keep on thinking in my head, April 11th. I'm like, what, 10 days?
No, that's April 8th.
Opening day, which is kind of circled in my head. But, yeah, opening day.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball and for the Orioles happens before that.
You're right. You're right. We normally – it's always weird when the Orioles start on the road.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's to my benefit this year because it's down here in Tampa.
Yep, so you'll be there for that.
Yep, I got tickets for Friday and Saturday, hotel through Sunday. So Sunday's an option.
Okay.
It depends how the first two games go. And I bought nice tickets for Friday and Saturday.
Okay. I bet for Saturday you couldn't get tickets for $4 like you could for the second game of the Orioles season.
No, I want to talk about that. That's like a whole week of 1992 pricing, right, that the Orioles are doing?
Yeah.
No. The tickets were more than I normally spend on baseball tickets.
But you could just go on the website and get a ticket for opening day? You think is that a sellout on opening day?
I went to TickPick.
I don't know what that means.
That TickPick
is a new sponsor for us.
Yeah, they're a sponsor of Film Study.
Okay.
So I went to tickpick.com/Ravens, which got me like $10 off my tickets.
Nice.
And for promoting Film Study.
But that's so like a StubHub type deal.
All right. Yep. So I went there, got my tickets. They did have some for opening day. No surprise, it's Tampa.
Yeah.
On their website. But I ended up going
with the nicer seats, yeah.
Yeah. I went with the nicer seats. I felt like a road game, home opener. I wanted to be in that like kind of behind home plate, behind the visitor dugout, that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would be fun. So that's where I'm sitting for Friday and Saturday.
That's where I sit for my Bowie games.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Same concept. Those aren't my favorite seats at Camden, but I feel like a road game, you want to be up there. You want to be with the players. You want to show support.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think that's spot on. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we got a lot talked about today in the show. We got roster cuts. We got some tough final roster decisions. Yep. We got some more promotions, all that stuff. But Josh, first of all, I need to get your take on this.
Okay.
Are you team Chris Rock or team Will Smith?
I don't care about the whole thing. I don't care about it at all. I think it's the stupidest thing ever.
Okay, we're on opposite sides of the fence.
But if you want me to choose.
Yeah, go ahead. That is one of the greatest things that ever happened.
I'm sad, Chris Rock. I think it's just another thing. It's why we don't have comedies in movie theaters anymore, that people get offended by stupid jokes.
Yeah.
And to be so offended by a stupid joke that you have to go up on stage and slap someone, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
See, I knew it. You said you didn't have an opinion, but
I also don't care.
Everyone has an opinion on, and I love it because I have Twitter just for Orioles, and so I usually just get Orioles stuff on there.
Right.
But occasionally something breaks through, like a news story breaks through. And somehow, I only follow Orioles people, but somehow something breaks through. And this was a breakthrough event, and I love it because it brought out everybody. The conspiracy theorists are out there saying it didn't really happen.
Right, that it's staged.
Yep. Our mother's one of them. To the surprise of not us, the people who take this as some kind of big statement on society.
Oh, that's me. That's me. I take it as a cultural statement.
Yeah, it's a cultural statement.
I think it definitely is a cultural statement.
The memes are out there. Wonderful. I just pre-show.
No. There's no memes out there.
Okay. I just watched a TikTok video called The Fresh Slap of Bel-Air, where they remake The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but turn it into the slap that gets them sent to Bel-Air. I thought that was pretty funny. Made me laugh. No, I think there's some good comedy to come out of it as well. So I think it covers the spectrum of things.
It goes into politics.
Yes. It becomes political too. I saw Donald Trump Jr., whatever, tweeting about it.
Yeah. There's a Zelensky meme going around.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. See, so it covers the gamut of everything. It makes me so happy.
So what side are you on?
I'm on entertainment side, and this whole thing is entertaining me greatly. And so I'm on everybody's side. I think everyone acted appropriately, and it makes me laugh. And who knew that the Oscars were still a show that happened? So it just went all around.
So you lean on the conspiracy theory side. That's the conspiracy theory side. Did you have any idea the Oscars were last night?
Only because I had a little money on Best Picture. That's the only reason I knew.
Did you put it on Coda?
No.
Oh, I knew it was going to be Coda. I didn't know I could bet on it. I didn't think about that.
Well, Coda was
the shoe-in.
I put a bet in 2 months ago for a long shot.
What'd you put it in for?
I don't want to share because... No.
What'd you put it in? You put it on Spider-Man.
I put it on West Side Story.
Have you seen the reviews of West Side Story?
I have a woman who I really like who does the Tony Cornell show. She came on raving about West Side Story. And so I said, oh, man, I'm going to just... It was like, you know, a 500 to 1 West Side Story? Huh?
Did you see West Side Story?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see any single movie on here.
Did you see Coda?
No, I didn't see a single. I didn't know what Coda was. It's the first time I ever heard of it. Is when I won this picture.
Oh, it's been on my list. I haven't watched it.
Oh, really? I have no idea what it's about.
A long time.
Yeah, I don't know what any of these movies are about. I've never heard of any of them. The only movie I saw this past year was Sing 2, and I would have voted for that one for best.
You didn't see? Did you see Turning Red?
Oh yeah, I saw Turning Red too. I did see that one. Right. I was a fan of that one.
What side are you on that? That's a lot of controversy too.
I haven't watched it yet.
We're watching
Franz Kafka because it's just a retelling of Metamorphosis, Kafka's Metamorphosis. And so I watched it for educational purposes to talk to my students about the connections between Turning Red and Kafka's Metamorphosis.
Gotcha.
But I avoided the controversial stuff on that.
Okay.
Let's get some mortal stuff.
You know, I was going to tell you, I went this weekend, I was, sitting at a little league game because that's what I do now, which is a lot of fun watching little kids play baseball.
Okay.
And I was sitting there playing on my phone and I said, you know what? Baseball season's coming up. I need to buy some new stuff. I need a new hat, a new jersey, a new t-shirt. I'm buying these things just on my phone throughout the day, Saturday afternoon, not thinking about the fact that they all go together. I ordered on Saturday a jersey.
Whose jersey?
Who would you order right now if you were buying a new? Because here's my jerseys currently. I have Adam Jones, I have Manny Machado, and I have a Nick Markakis jersey.
Adley Rutschman jersey?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't want to buy an Adley Rutschman jersey because I do have a Matt Wieters jersey. I went down that I already went down that route. Everyone's going to go down that route.
And I'm not sure about the numbers, right? You don't want to mess up the number.
You never buy a rookie jersey because they change their jersey the second year and you're all screwed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would be too nervous to go with Trey Mancini, even though I think the Orioles should extend him. So I would probably go with Cedric Mullins.
That's a good one. I was thinking Mountcastle.
Oh, yeah, that'd be another good one.
Mountcastle was a good one.
Yeah.
I went with Cal Ripken.
Okay.
I decided to go Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I said, that's going to be good no matter what's going on because I can't trust anyone on this roster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's that Cedric Mullins could be traded tomorrow. Who knows?
Right.
What Elias is capable of.
I also decided I needed a new Orioles hat because a dozen's not enough. I want something a little different.
Yeah.
And I've really been wanting the ornithological bird.
Okay.
The bird that we all as kids had on our hats.
Right. The 90s bird. Yeah.
Right. Sure. So I ordered one of those.
With the traditional colors or all black or what?
Oh, yeah. The traditional black with the orange bird.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Traditional same hat we all had as kids.
Yeah.
And in the 90s.
Except fitted and not the button.
No, not fitted. It has a strap. It has like an old man strap.
Okay.
Like, you know, the. Not the snapback, but the little, how the old man does the little pull.
Oh, and
thing.
Not the Velcro, but the actual,
the little, like a belt.
Yeah, like the belt loop around and pull.
Yeah, sure, it's got that. I couldn't find the fitted version or the snapback version that also had the brim.
Yeah.
Snapbacks had to be like the flats.
Yeah.
And I don't want a flat. Yeah. I'm a 42-year-old man. I'm not wearing a flat hat.
Yeah, no, you're not George Sherrill out here. Sure.
Exactly. So then I went on Facebook and the ads got me and there was a cool 2131 t-shirt up there for sale. So I ordered a 2131 t-shirt.
Mm.
So I ordered these three items, a t-shirt, a hat, and a jersey all on Saturday afternoon. And then it didn't strike me that they had anything to do with each other until earlier today, when I was like, man, I guess I really missed
when you saw the promotion
Orioles baseball.
Yeah, when you saw the promotion for 90s pricing.
Exactly. Then they went into the 90s promotion. I was like, that is what I miss as an Oriole fan. And that's, and I guess it's because there was winning baseball in Baltimore and a consistent full Camden Yards. And like, I hope we can get back to that soon.
Yeah. Like, I was encouraged. I went to, I put the show notes, Fan Fest. That's not exactly what I went to.
You completely confused me by putting a note in the notes that say Matt attended Fan Fest.
Yeah. I attended the Bowie Bay Sox. I don't know what they call it. Their fan kids event. I don't know.
Okay.
There's no players there, but the Oriole Bert's there. Louie is there, and there's a bunch of games and stuff to play. And you get to go in the dugout and walk around the warning track at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium. Really well done. Really, really, it was a lot of fun. But well, what were we talking about?
The 90s baseball.
Oh, the 90s baseball. I'm not sure where I was going
back to the winning ways.
Oh, yeah. Here's where I was going with that. I forgot for a second. He got, you know, they were giving away a bunch of stuff. And two things he got was two posters. One poster of Adley Rutschman in a Bowie's uniform, and one poster of Grayson Rodriguez in a Bowie uniform.
Oh, that,
and
that's
and
all.
We're putting that up on the wall.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about how, like, am I making a mistake raising my kids as Oriole fans? Well, my son at this point, at being four, he has really no idea. He can't name really any Orioles players. Right. He kind of knows Lamar Jackson.
But it seems like he's at the perfect age.
But when he gets to be 6 and 7 and really gets into baseball, those posters on the wall, Adley Rutschman and Grayson Rodriguez, you know, one of those is going to be the World Series MVP. I'm not sure which one. But that's going to be, like, I feel like, hopefully.
Like that's the Ripken and Brady from our childhood.
Yes, he's going to have that same positive baseball childhood that we had.
I hope so.
Except his will include a World Series where ours did not.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I answered that question again this weekend. When's the last time the Orioles won the World Series? Yeah. I was 3.
Yeah, I was 0.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully next year.
Yeah. Hopefully next year. Josh, this offseason, though, and we'll get to some of the cuts and specifics. Oh, but before we get there, did you want to mention anything about you? We talked about the promotion. I was going to mention, I was going to bitterly complain about this inept offseason where we've done nothing.
We'll get to that.
Did you want to say something about the promotion? Anything else about the throwback pricing? I know you're super into promotions.
Well,
it could be the biggest news of the year. And I looked at Josh's show notes, his first highlight, promotion.
No. That's a something. No, the show notes say OPACY favorite memory promotion, because I got an email from them asking everyone to submit like videos telling about their favorite memory at Camden Yards.
I
forgot about the $4 pricing.
Okay.
No, I like the $4 pricing, but that has nothing to do with me. I wanted to ask you what your favorite memory of Camden Yards was, because I thought, hey, we should put a video together and send into here as our favorite memories. And then I was trying to think, I was like, everyone younger than us will say the Dumb and Young double.
Yeah.
Everyone older than us will say 21-31.
Yes.
What are some of the stuffs missing in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the All-Star game, right, comes top of my mind.
Right.
And that whole All-Star festival, I mean, that's, you know, a highlight. I mean, for me, the immediate thing comes to my mind, this is kind of recency bias, but taking Silas to his first game and going and, you know, where he can actually walk around, buying his first, actually, you know, dad bought his first, you know, Cal Ripken jersey in the team store.
His first beer.
T-shirt. Yeah, his first beer. So those memories, I mean, because certainly for us, Josh, it was the whole, for us, it's the generational
You know,
family aspect of it that makes Camden Yards so special. So I see some connection there.
Right. 336 night.
Our 336 nights.
Yeah. Especially the first couple that we had big crowds.
Yeah. Those were
so fun.
Yeah. Those are personal highlights. Yeah. It doesn't really.
I thought about some great negative highlights, like the 30-3 loss. It's a fun negative highlight. We got to see a no-hitter in person.
Yeah.
Against the Orioles.
Hideki Nomo. We were there at that bizarre game where we couldn't leave the stadium.
Yes. Yeah, the riot game.
Yeah.
We were also there when they found the Boston bomber. Like, I've got lots of memories tied with Camden Yards.
Yeah.
We were also there for the day, the last game before the strike in 94. So that's a big memory for me.
I recall that. Okay.
I mean, you should recall that. You were asked to move out of the photo.
Nah, I think that was more Laura. I don't know if I was even there, to be honest.
So I remember that. I've obviously Jeffrey Mayer.
Yep.
That that was in New York.
That was in New York.
That was in New York, but that season was there. I think of some great seasons with Mike Mussina. But I think there's lots of great ways that they can go with this, and I hope that they don't focus on just the Delvin Young double, game 162, stuff like that. You know,
well, and even like as a young person, I mean, we had to get on a waiting list for season tickets, right? Because as a young person, the game was sold out. What's that?
Open. Even if you had season tickets, you couldn't get opening day.
Oh yeah, forget about it. But like, I mean, we for a while there when the stadium opened, it was selling out every single night of the season.
Right, right.
And so it was you had to be in a waiting list to get season tickets. So
yeah,
it's very different.
Yeah, and it kind of pulls into.
Oh, I just thought of Eddie Murray too.
Yeah, 500
runs. Yeah, that's another good one.
Oh, and you mentioned the All-Star, but Griffey hitting the warehouse.
Yep.
I mean, Griffey, everyone thinks of Griffey as the backwards hat. That was in Camden Yards.
Yep.
That he turned that around. So, the Cal Ripken game, more recency. So.
Again, one of the special memories, this is a little more recent, but the whole statue giveaway, and it seems like every game was kind of this incredible game where they were giving away statues on top of just an incredible year, right?
And
Josh, at the top of my list, too, now that we're talking about, you caught me off guard here, but game 162, where we were dancing in the aisles.
That's what I said. Yeah, game 162 definitely is on the list.
Yeah, that might be near the top of my list. Is one of the most, favorite fan experience.
And people love to hate on Chris Davis. But those two seasons where he was just crushing the ball.
Yep.
Every at bat in that stadium was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
And also when they used to have Fan Fest at Camden Yards was always a highlight of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, before they moved it and then got rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I feel like, and I don't know, goes into that Forbes article that came out this week about how every Major League Baseball team increased in value except the Orioles decreased in value.
Right.
And it's just a made up number. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. It's one journalist's opinion.
Like, if you were to sell the team,
And they ask him, well, why do the Orioles lose money? And they say, badly ran franchise.
Yeah.
But two sentences before, they said, oh, well, the Orioles would make a bunch of money even without revenue sharing because of their things so low. So you would think that would be attractive to sell, but whatever. Yeah. But it made me realize during those 90s baseball, the big difference with that Pat Camden Yards was the Nats not being in town.
Oh, yeah.
And without the Nats, you had this gigantic region of Birdland.
Yep. And now half of that
poured into that excitement.
Half of that went to the Nats. And then, honestly, I mean, the Nats just recently have been more successful than the Orioles, right? So that's attracted a lot of, you're a borderline fan, a winner. Go over for Scherzer and Strasburg and Harper.
Oh, I guarantee there's lots of people who grew
Soto.
Up, had kids, and they're like, I'm not putting my kids through the heartache that I went through with the Orioles.
Yeah.
We're going to root for the Nats.
Yeah, you hear about people, you feel bad for people who are Oriole fans and Commander fans. The people who did it right are Raven fans and National fans.
I don't think right's the right the word.
If you want to see the most winning,
yes. You and I, we've talked many times about how we could never root for another team. It's like family and embedded.
Josh, you see the cherry blossom jerseys that the
Help me out with this. Yeah. Why is there so much hate for them? I think they look great.
I was going to say, I think they're the most wonderful jerseys I've ever seen. Like, I almost became a Nats fan.
Jerseys, but overnight,
I love the cherry blossoms. Really? I didn't see people hating on them.
Twitter and Facebook both are just trashing them. And I'm like, these are awesome. I thought
the cherry blossom jerseys were awesome.
Me too. Okay, good. We're on the same page there.
Yeah.
No, it made me think, what will Baltimore do as far as like, how do you recognize that you're the city of Baltimore.
I'm sure there's a lot of inappropriate jokes we can make about that.
There are many, and I'm sure they're all over Twitter.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all. I just thought it's fun to talk about Oriole Park memories as they're doing that promotion with the 30 years.
That is cool. I missed that email. I wouldn't get the email anyway. Though I do get an email from the Orioles every other day saying 75% off, offer ends midnight.
And then the next day.
75% off, offer ends. I'm like, shut up, Orioles.
All right. So apparently, I guess there's still a lot of tickets available for opening day.
Oh, no. Is that a thing, really?
I got an email about it like 2 days ago.
Oh, really? Is there a chance it won't be a sellout?
I don't know. I'm going to check right now.
All right. Yeah, but no, I'm planning on going. I got to put in my off day for it. I'm going with Silas. Dad's going. That's I don't awesome. Know who else is going, but it should be good.
That's cool. I convinced Kelly's son this weekend that he will be an Orioles fan. He's given in that he will leave the Braves.
Well, that's good timing.
So I ordered a Cal Ripken T-shirt because, again, who do you put it? Who do you give him?
Yeah, maybe Brooks, Cal.
Maybe Brooks, but he knows the name Cal.
Yeah.
So. All right. So modern Orioles.
Yeah.
Or you want to talk about the crappy off season?
I don't know what there is to say. We talked
about it all off season.
Chris Archer was signed this past week. Your boy was signed this past week, who we talked about last episode. That pitcher, I forget his name, whatever his name was. Oh, Zach Davies.
Yeah, Zach Davies. Chris Archer today irritated me because there's no reason the Orioles couldn't have made that deal.
Yeah. The same with the Zach Davies. It's just incentive-laden deals, one-year deals. Right. But I guess we feel good about Keegan Aiken and Dean Kramer and Bruce Zimmerman. So we don't need Chris Archer because we got these guys. So I guess we're good, Josh. I guess we're good there.
I guess so.
No, our starting pitching, Josh, is an absolute embarrassment and a joke. And the fact that we have the lowest salary in baseball and Mike Elias can't spend any money on another starting pitcher is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It is totally embarrassing. I like the memes going around of what's his name that just got traded to the Dolphins in 1 year will make more money than the entire Oriole franchise.
Oh, really?
Because he's over 30 million. We're at 30 million.
Tyreek Hill, you're talking about? Yeah.
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 By the way, there's plenty of tickets available for opening day.
Mm, that's concerning.
Yeah. If they're all over the place. You can get any level of ticket you want, you can get it.
Oh, wow. That's surprising to me. But I don't blame fans for not coming when you don't even try to be somewhat competitive. And you're just, I mean, we saw how bad Aiken and Kramer and these guys were last year. And maybe they have a bounce back year. But why would you not have a plan B?
And sorry, you also came out and said, we're moving the wall back so we can bring in two pitchers that want to come to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So you did that part, but did you not? Why aren't you going and getting pitchers?
Yeah, we got Lyles, we got one pitcher, and then we're like,
Lyles was signed before they moved the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said at the end of the season, he said starting pitching is something that needs to be addressed in the offseason.
Yeah.
And he really hasn't addressed it. And so here we are again. And I think our offense is going to be fine. I think there's some interesting battles. I'm looking forward to some offensive players making some debuts this year. But it's going to be, I mean, when Adley Rutschman hits a home run to make it 10-4.
Right. Who cares?
Who cares, right? Like, I mean,
right.
And it's so, I'm not even talking about making the playoffs. I'm just talking about, like, not having to watch Keegan Aiken. That's all I want, is to not watch Keegan Aiken every fifth day. Like, can we just do that? But no, we can't. So I'm mad about this offseason, Josh. I mean, the biggest offseason thing we did was move the wall.
Right. And Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, yeah. It's
Oh, and I wrote in the show notes, biggest offseason move no one's talking about. This is actually the biggest thing they did off this offseason is you're now once again allowed to bring food into Camden Yards.
Which is great.
Yeah.
but it's kind of a crock that you hid behind COVID for that last year.
Yeah.
Best free agent pitcher available right now is Scott Kazmir, J.A. Happ.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll take anybody. Yeah.
I'll take any of these guys.
Matt, I don't know what the reason
out there I'll take.
Yeah. Matt Harvey?
Matt Harvey's still out there. Jake Arrieta's still out there. Wade LeBlanc is still out there. Tommy Malone is still out there.
Yeah. We did the Wade LeBlanc time alone thing. I don't really want them, but anybody else, I'll take.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, but there are some encouraging signs. Josh, did you see any of the D.L. Hall highlights?
Yeah, for his one inning, two strikeouts.
Yeah, hitting 100 miles per hour.
Yeah,
that slider fastball overlay. That was some impressive stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know how you handle a guy that does that. You demote him.
Yeah, he had that amazing inning, and the next day he's sent down. But the reason is, and I'm really curious to see. I think they're going to start at Bowie. I think they said. But the interesting thing about him is, and he showed. I think this is true. I think people think this is true. I think this is true. People do, I think, that he has better stuff than Grayson Rodriguez. Like, from a stuff standpoint, he is the best pitcher in organization. The problem with him, though, is injuries. That's the thing. Josh, last year, so I'm curious to see what he's going to do with innings-wise, because last year he threw 31 innings, right? So you can't go from 31 innings to 150 innings. So I'm curious to see how they're going to manage the innings. And the year before that was COVID, so he pitched no innings. So the last 2 years, he's pitched a total of 31 innings. And then the year before that, 2019, he pitched only 80 innings. So he's never pitched more than 94 innings in his life. So the innings watch is going to be kind of disturbing D.L. Hall.
Right, which means he's probably not coming to the majors at all this year.
Though Michael Elias
save those innings for the following year.
Yeah, I would think, but then Michael Elias said it's very likely that we see D.L. Hall in the majors this year. So I don't know if that looks like a piggyback, if it looks like a bullpen, if it looks something else. I think they might do something like that to manage his innings. I don't think he's going to be a starter every fifth day for the Orioles unless they do some type of piggyback, you know, him and Tyler Wells throw three innings or something. I think there's a lot of open questions with our pitching staff right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely open. There's lots of open questions. We don't even know who our number four starter is.
Josh, who's the number three starter?
I know. I realized that as I said it. I was thinking, oh, Means, Lals.
Yeah, that's the only people set in stone.
For some reason, I was thinking there was another guy out there. And then, as it was coming out of my mouth, I realized I don't know.
The other guy that looked really impressive.
Zimmerman
that
was sent and Wells?
Down, Wells was sent down.
Yeah, okay.
The only other guy that looked really impressive was Kyle Bradish, who was throwing 97, and he has really good stuff. And he's shown last year.
But he got sent down, too.
But he was sent down, too.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Bradish is probably the closest kind of pitching prospect to the majors. I expect him to be up here sooner rather than later. They might be doing some inning stuff with him as well. But the options are, right, for starting pitcher, Dean Kramer.
Keegan Aiken.
Bruce
Zimmerman. Chris Ellis. Spencer Watkins.
Chris Ellis. Zach Lowther. I don't know how they view Tyler Wells. I don't know kind of what they're doing with him. If they view him as a starter or bullpen. It seems like they're stretching him out. So could Tyler Wells also be a potential starter? I don't know.
Right.
Those are the options. So it's not. It's not pretty. I mean, you hope one of those guys step up. The good news is you do have Kyle Bradish kind of waiting in the wing. So hopefully, you know, that's your option. But it's just, like I said, we should sign another starting pitcher.
Right. No, we got to do our – next week is our prediction episode. So yeah. We'll go live on Facebook and everything probably Monday 8 o'clock or 8:30. But we have to make our predictions next week for the season, and we don't know who our number three starter is. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so, pay attention to how – I think it's like open competition, right? So I think Bruce Zimmerman pitches tomorrow. If he pitches well, I think you can pencil him in for one of the five spots.
Right.
And then kind of watch what the other guys do, watch what Lowther does and Kramer does and – it's going to be kind of whoever sucks the least will get it, I guess.
But open competition is fun if there's one slot and you've got some good guys going at it. We have three slots.
Yeah.
And no one's really exciting for one of the slots.
Yeah. And the two most exciting guys for those slots, Kyle Bradish and D.L. Hall, were both just sent down.
Right. So, if I said you had one spot and you had Bruce Zimmerman, Zach Lowther, Tyler Wells, Dean Kramer, Keegan Aiken, Chris Ellis, Spencer Watkins, maybe there's a little excitement. Oh, who's going to be the fifth starter? We have three slots for these guys. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's dumb. It's dumb. But one more comment about DL Hall. I was just thinking about this. I think if you look at 2023 or 2024 as a series, World Series contenders, I think if there's one player on our team that's going to determine how good we are next year and the year after, I don't think it's Adley Rutschman. I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's Grayson Rodriguez. I think it's DL Hall, because DL Hall has the range to be a one starter, like an ace, a top rotation starter, or like injured and not pitching anywhere. Like that's the range for him, or he could end up in the bullpen. Like, it's just such a large range of outcomes for DL Hall that if he turns out, if he can get his stuff together this year and stay healthy, I think he, all of a sudden, we're talking about John Means, Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall as a dominant, you know, DL Hall is one, Rodriguez is two, Means as three. That's a legit top three starter rotation.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
But till then.
Yeah. And that is,
we got a whole southerner season we got to deal with.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not over the moon about it. I'm not printing by my World Series tickets, because I saw an opening rotation of Gausman and Bundy as being an unstoppable 1-2 punch. And then you dropped Harvey, and all of a sudden we're talking about Hunter Harvey as a third. Let's go. And obviously none of those guys have worked out like we thought.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Hey, one other, moving from pitchers.
Yeah.
A guy who was super impressive and demoted.
Diaz?
Yuzanel Diaz. Josh, what are your thoughts on Diaz's spring training and also the Orioles' decision to send him down?
Well, we know we got a lot of outfielders. I think we talked last week, like, how does Diaz fit into this? And how does Diaz versus McKenna, who we know the Orioles liked McKenna last year, it gave him a lot of opportunities, but he never really hit the ball. So it's kind of, we know our outfield is Mullins, Hayes, Santander. The question is that bench spot. And I think it's just Diaz, I don't think, has the flexibility that a McKenna does.
Yeah.
And then, not to mention DJ Stewart, who was also, before he got hit with the pitch, he was looking really good too. And he seems like a very similar guy to Diaz.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody really wants Yuzanel Diaz.
I don't think anybody cares. Except that they want to justify the Manny trade.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say. I think they really want to be successful, so they feel like they got something from Manny Machado. Also, like, I think, you know, he was a former top 100 prospect. He was not just, you know, a guy in the Machado trade. He was like the highlight of the trade.
Yeah.
He was a top 100 prospect when we traded for him. And it just hasn't worked out. And he has injuries every single year. I mean, people forget he's been in our system since 2018 and just hasn't worked out. And you look at his total games played. I mean, he'll be lucky if he plays in 80. I mean, the most he's played is 85 games.
I've given up on him.
Yeah. And if you look at
when I don't, it's whatever.
And the reason I think he didn't make the team and he was kind of cut, didn't even make it to the final cuts, is not because of a crunch in the outfield. I think it has to do with how they value spring training stats. And what's more important, how he's hit in spring training or the fact that last year he hit, here's his batting average last year in 65 games across AAA and AA, he batted 161. That's his batting average, 161. Right. With an on-base percentage of .233. Like it wasn't just that he wasn't healthy. He wasn't healthy, but when he played, he was terrible. And so I think 65 games in the minors is better track record than just a handful of spring training games. And so I think they're going to say to him, listen, prove that you can stay healthy.
Prove it.
Prove that you can hit, and then you'll be back up here. And I think if he hits well and stays healthy, we'll see him in June. And if he doesn't, we'll never see him again.
Like I said, I think we'll never see him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a mentally healthy view to take.
160. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if he can just improve upon last year and stay healthy, it'd be a step in the right direction. But yeah, I don't think you should expect too much from using Diaz this year. Or any year, to be honest.
As we're talking about these bench spots and guys, is Chris Owens making this team?
Well, he hasn't been cut yet. So the complicated thing about Chris Owens, though, he's one of the only guys out there who is not on the 40-man yet.
Right. He just got the invite.
He's got the invite. And the 40-man's full. So to put him on the 40-man and thus to have him make the team opening day, you would need to remove somebody from the 40-man. Now, you could argue, I would argue, there's a lot of guys to choose from the 40-man who you could remove. But yeah, that's the complicated factor with Chris Owens. But I think if they like him, I think he's played well so far in spring training. I think that they like him. He'll make the team. I think there's guys you could. There's way too many pitchers on this 40 man. I think you right. can find room for him.
Of course, and on the field, I mean, you can put him at second or short. You don't really have an establishment in either spot. Where's Odor play? Playing second or third?
I think he'll play second.
All right, so then you have short and third that you don't have establishment.
Yeah. Though for the record, Odor has been terrible in spring training. I don't know how much the Orioles care about it, but in the spring training, he's got one hit.
Well, a minute ago, you just said you don't think the Orioles care about spring training.
Yeah, so maybe they don't. But, yeah, I think it's a lock that Urias is your shortstop. I think it's pretty much everything else is pretty much up for a battle. I think Kelvin Gutierrez or Chris Owens battle out at third. And then right. Odor and Mateo maybe battle out at second base.
Okay.
And then.
You didn't mention Richie Martin.
Oh, sure. He's not on the 40-man either, actually. So I don't think he's on the – is he?
He should be on the
– yeah, he should be. I'm just looking at the 40-man list here, and I don't see his name, but he should be. That's weird. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Richie Martin's another guy that –
did they remove him and he cleared waivers?
Possible. Look that up. I don't see him here.
Oh, he might be hurt.
Is he on the 60-day DL or something?
I bet he's on the DL.
Yeah. Because if you're on the DL, you don't show up here either.
Right. I bet he was on. I bet he was on DL.
So yeah, that's another. I mean, I don't think. I don't anticipate him being on. Oh yeah, he was removed off the 40 man. Never mind, he's off.
Okay.
I was just looking it up. Yeah. So I don't anticipate, obviously, Richie Martin making the team, especially if he's on the 40 man. But he's another guy that's interesting, right? Good defensively. I know he's a Rule 5 guy, so he's had his chance and he just can't hit enough. So I think that's your starting shortstop at Norfolk. I would be really surprised if he makes the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, our infield leaves something to be desired, right? Like, I'm not looking forward to watching Kelvin Gutierrez at third. Or Chris Owens, to be honest. I'm not that jazzed about Rognan Odor. I like Urias. I think Urias could be part of our future. And I think Mateo is at least very entertaining with all his speed. So I like Mateo. I like Urias. The rest, you know, I'm good with them not being here. I don't really care about them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the spring training position battles, I don't think there's anything really exciting this year with the Orioles.
Yeah, I tend to actually agree with you.
It's just
and I'm with you too on the pitching side too. There's not really
nothing exciting.
It's not exciting. Yeah, if Grayson Rodriguez or DL Hall or Kyle Bradish was actually fighting for a spot, like to prove themselves, that might be exciting. I mean, but you like the Orioles. I feel like they made up their mind. Jamai Jones was already sent down. You thought, well, maybe Jamai Jones could be a guy who fights for a spot, but they already sent him down. They have right. no interest in having him fight for a spot.
No, that's exactly. It's boring.
Same with Vavra. Like, Taron Vavra is another kind of young, exciting player who, okay, you know, he's a good prospect. Maybe he's fighting, but he's not. He was already sent down, so he's not fighting for a spot either. So all these guys that you maybe be interested in, like maybe Yusnel Diaz. Like, Yusnel Diaz was an interesting story, right? Him playing really well was an interesting story, but he was sent down. So the Orioles, I think for a large part, have kind of made up their mind here, right? And they're just... like, I could tell you who's going to make the team now. Like, it's not, there's not really that many interesting battles here.
Nah, it's pretty boring.
They do if they, I think it's very possible that Chris Owens gets added to the 40 man. Also, they need to add another catcher to join Robinson Chirinos because he's right now the only catcher on the roster.
Right. Because we just assumed Adley would be there, but if he's not healthy, now he's pretty much going to be in the minors, which has probably worked out good for Mike Elias because we would all get angry at Mike Elias if Adley did not start opening day.
Yeah.
And based on every other move they're making, I didn't think they would have had him start opening day.
Yeah, I still think they would have had him start opening day. But you're right. All the other reasons point to them not having him for opening day. But this gives Elias a very convenient excuse for not having him up opening day. So, I guess it's good for him. But that's the other thing I think that not enough people are talking about when you kind of – And again, I agree with you. I saw people on Twitter debating who's going to make the team. And it was like such a...
It's so boring.
It's so boring. And none of these players that are talking about will be around in 2 years.
I feel like last year was more exciting than this year. Last year we had Matt Harvey. And what can he do? We had
Felix Hernandez too was there, trying to prove himself.
Hernandez. We had at least something to talk about. There is nothing to talk about in this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, in season, it'd be interesting to see when do players like does D.L. Hall get a call up? When does Adley show up? Kyle Stowers, Robert Nystrom. Like, there's some interesting prospects that could be seeing time in the majors this year, and that's interesting. But they're not really playing into the. None of those guys are playing into the spring training battles.
Right. Now it's the spring training, like Mass is not sending anyone down there. Like, they're broadcasting the spring training games from Camden Yards instead of being down there. It's irritating because it's just the Orioles way. But it's also like, I get it. There's nothing exciting down there. Do you really want to send Kevin Brown down there so we can have a conversation with Mateo about whether or not he thinks he's going to make the team?
Yeah. Yeah, no. And so, I mean, what's interesting about the other game, and this got the highlights of the other game, is you had an infield. I forget the exact makeup in the infield, but everyone was talking about how you had Kobe Mayo and Gunnar Henderson, and I think there's a couple other prospects in the infield, and people were so excited to see that infield, knowing none of these guys are going to end up making the team.
Right.
But it's just – you wish they all were, but it was like, oh, here's a sneak peek at all actually our best players who are not competing for any spring training spots, but it's kind of cool that we get to see all our best players for a minute.
Well, speaking of that, how far off is Gunnar Henderson? I feel like he's the type of guy who could actually come up this year.
Yeah.
He's like 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
He had decent stats. Like, why not bring him up early like they did Machado?
Yeah, I mean, he's 20. He'll be 21, though, I think, during the season. Last year, he played at Bowie at 20, right?
Right.
So this is something that our friend Adam Pohl always talks about, that kind of the age difference is a big deal, that he's so much younger than everybody else at Bowie.
But
so,
don't you want those young guys, like, on your major league roster?
I mean, I think, Josh, yes, I do. So I would imagine if he played Bowie last year, yeah, either he'll start at Norfolk or, I mean, because he started at Aberdeen last year and was promoted to Bowie. So maybe you want to give him a month in Bowie and then promote him to Norfolk. But I think, yeah, at the earliest, he could be here, you know, this summer. But I would guess next year. But I don't know.
Next year?
Yeah. But certainly, like, I think Gunnar needs to figure out. I mean, last year he played at shortstop and third base. And second base.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess we have those positions nailed down.
No, we have none of those positions nailed
down. Pick which one. But you're doing this role where, not to compare him to Manny Machado, but Manny Machado played at shortstop all through minor leagues. And then his first game at third base, like, we bring him to the majors and say you're a third baseman.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but yeah, that's a little bit of unfair comparison, right? Because Manny Machado is a once-in-a-generation talent.
I get it, but he's a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, but he can do both.
He can make the shift.
He can do both. Yeah, but I mean, you might want to find out what his position is. Is it third or short? I guess when we sign Carlos Correa, he can just move over to third base or whatever.
Right.
But I think the
answer isn't what position can he play. It's where's our hole? What do we need?
Yeah, but if you thought Jamai Jones, remember last year we were all clamoring for Jamai Jones?
For the record, I was never clamoring for Jamai Jones.
I was a little bit. But can you imagine? I mean, Jamai Jones isn't very good. Gunnar Henderson is very good. So if he starts raking in AA and he gets promoted, if he starts raking in AAA, I mean, we're going to be wanting to see him. And I'm sure there's things he can work on at 21. But I'd rather be in Camden Yards than at Norfolk.
Right. I'm all for letting the young guys get experience up in the majors.
Oh, yeah, here was the infield. The infield was Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg, Joey Ortiz, Kobe Mayo, and then the outfield was Colton Cowser and John Rhodes. So just a bunch of our top prospects. So that was the highlight of a spring training game.
Remember, Ben McDonald made his first start for the Orioles at age 19.
Yeah, wasn't he? Was he drafted that same year he made his first start or something
like
that?
I think it was. I know minor league baseball. Right. I know minor league baseball has changed since then, But still, I like that about the NBA and NFL that you get to see your guys faster.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is like one of the one issues they could have solved
with the CBA,
with the bargaining, and they chose not to even like address it at all.
Yeah.
So except for with the, I think that's a rule now, right? If he's top three rookie,
yeah,
of
if he
the
gets
year
rookie, top three and rookie of the year, then he gets extra time or something.
Yeah. So I hope Adley does that to stick it to the man. All right. Can I just also make this one other spring training comment?
All right.
My favorite player, Josh, that's not an Oriole or has never been an Oriole.
Oh, it's oh, I know where you're going. My guy too.
Is your favorite player too?
Yeah.
It's Max Scherzer.
Yeah. It's part of the reason why I'm watching Mets games this year.
Did you see what Max Scherzer did in his first spring training start?
What'd he do?
Josh, everyone throws like an inning, 30 pitches in their first start. He threw 75 pitches in his first start.
Yeah, because he's a man. He's a baseball player.
They asked him why. And he said, here's what I don't understand. And it was like blew my mind. He said, I've been building up my innings even before spring training started so I can go 75 pitches.
Yeah, Josh, because he actually cares.
Why do all pitchers not just build up their innings before spring training? Like, we're going to go into, because of the abbreviated spring training, we're going to go into the season with some pitchers not having built up. Like, Tyler Wells is still building up his pitch count, and these other pitchers are still building up their stamina or whatever. Why don't players come in haven't already built up this stamina? They can't throw five simulated innings
to
a catcher? Like, you can't do this?
All our favorite baseball players are now millennials.
Is that what's happening here? When Max Scherzer, the old man, came out and threw 75 pitches his first out, I was like, what? That's legal? You can do this? And I just love Max Scherzer so much for it. And that Max Scherzer-Buck Showalter combination. Yeah, I'm going to be watching a lot of Mets games this year. I'll say that.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there. You want to touch this Trey Mancini stuff that's going all around this week because...
Why did it start up again?
All right, here's why. That's what I was going to fill you in with. It started up because Mike Elias... Someone asked Mike Elias if Mancini would be in the opening day lineup, and he wouldn't commit to it. So then Dan Connolly wrote an article for The Athletic saying that basically, though fans will hate it, Mike Elias will be trading Trey Mancini in the matter of weeks or months. Which then spun other articles about how Trey Mancini might be traded before the Orioles leave Sarasota. Because of the non-committal to opening day lineup. And the fact that basically, and all of this came from last week when we talked about all the fans irritated about arbitration. We talked about this last week, right?
I don't think we talked about it, actually.
All right. Well, last week, everyone was irritated about arbitration.
I'm a little irritated by it, too.
I don't care. This is how baseball works. It's not, doesn't mean they don't like these people. It's how the CBA works. They have to go through arbitration.
Okay, but that's fine. But are you taking into account that Trey Mancini had cancer?
A lot of fans are. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think,
and that's where it irritates me.
Yeah,
but anyway, I mean, so the arbitration build on
it just looks, it looks
off,
a little bit petty. To me, Josh, it looks a little bit petty that you can't, that you're so close to your star players and you can't make an agreement. For me, it just looks petty from an Orioles standpoint, already having the lowest salary in baseball. Mancini filed at $8 million. The Orioles offered $7.375 million.
Right.
Like, seriously, you can't pay him $700,000 more just to have the goodwill of Trey Mancini. It seems a little silly.
I'm not defending anything the Orioles do. The Orioles are an embarrassment this offseason.
With the money, yes.
With anything related to money. I like moving the outfield wall back. That might be the only thing this offseason they did that I like.
And bringing the food back.
Everything else they've done this offseason is an embarrassment. And it's very frustrating. Anything related to money, this $30 million salary is an embarrassment. The arbitration stuff is an embarrassment. But I also feel like it's part of negotiations. It happens every year. Fans are making too big of a deal of it.
Okay.
So that's. But anyway, all that bled into...
Yeah, yeah.
The Orioles might trade Trey Mancini, which I think we've talked about many times. Mancini's kind of their only trade chip right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're on different sides of this, right? I don't think they should trade him at all. I think you think they're okay to trade him.
We've been talking about this for a long time. Isn't Trey Mancini who we did the jelly beans with?
Yes.
Wasn't that whether or not to trade Trey Mancini?
Yes. Yeah, that was.
All right. I thought so. We've been talking about this, I think, a long time, where I've been on the trade him side and you've been on the not don't trade him side.
Yeah, but I mean, the weeks to months could be okay, like any time in his kind of final year of his contract, he could be traded. Right. So that's right. I don't understand the weeks to months thing. Okay, fine. Anyone could be traded in weeks to months.
The weeks to month is simple. We don't have a set spot for him on this team. He could play outfield. He could play first base. But we've got a bunch of other guys because we talked about the infield and we talked about the outfield tonight, and we never mentioned Mancini.
Yeah, and we also talked about how most of them aren't very good, but okay.
Well, no, we talked about bench spots that aren't very good. We talked about how we kind of have an outfield set with Hayes, Mullins, Santander.
Okay.
We mentioned how we have first base secure with Mountcastle.
Okay.
So
who's your DH?
Yeah.
DJ Stewart? Who would you rather have on this team this year, DJ Stewart or Trey Mancini?
No, I'm not gonna make that call. I'm not going to pull out and say, oh, yeah, DJ Stewart. No, but I'm saying – I understand when you're saying, all right, how do we bring more draft picks in? Trey Mancini is the guy that we've got there to rely on. I get that.
I don't think you need more prospects.
We're past that. Was it a week and a half when I was in Baltimore? And I drove up and I'm driving down whatever that road is next to the warehouse, getting off 95, coming down. And yeah. I see a banner on the side of the warehouse and I get excited. Because I say, oh, they've got a banner up. I want to see who the Orioles are promoting this year. Right. Because that banner tells me that's who they want. That's who they think is going to be the face of the organization. So I'm curious. Is it Trey Mancini? Is it Mountcastle? Are they already putting up
it should be Rutschman, yeah.
A Rutschman? That's what are they doing there?
Yeah.
You know what the banner was?
What?
Paul McCartney.
Yes.
You know how disappointed I was when the banner said Paul McCartney? And I think that's part of the problem with the Orioles right now. Is the Orioles... And
they should have had they should have a picture up there of a ham sandwich and some mangoes that I'm going to bring into the stadium.
Or, I don't know. We went through bad years. We went through years where the banner was Buck Showalter because there was no one on the team to get behind. So you got behind the manager, and that was fun. There is no one on this team at this moment to get behind to be the face of the organization. Trey Mancini lucks into that spot as the older guy on the team, as the guy who has had good years here. He got all the cancer stuff. So fans have gotten really attached to Trey Mancini. Trey Mancini does not make sense for the future of this team. He's going to be traded.
All right. I think, Josh, how old is Trey Mancini?
27. 28.
He's 30. Never mind. People talked about him like he's 35 or 36. He's 30.
Oh, man.
He just turned 30. Yeah, he's in the final year of his deal. I would argue offensively, he had a bit of a down year last year.
He did. Cancer, Matt. Cancer. You're forgetting the cancer.
That's what I'm saying. So the year before, bad 291, hit 35 home runs. The year
before he didn't play, right?
Right. I'm sorry. He didn't play the year before. 2019.
All right. So now you're talking about a guy who took a year off and then struggled a year, and you want to give him an extension?
Yeah, I want to see how he plays this year.
Take the cancer part out of it and look at it just from a baseball stats.
That's what I'm saying, Josh. You don't think that this team could use a veteran leader who's a good hitter? I think we could. I don't think Trey Mancini's a bad hitter. How come he can be traded? It's because there's 20 other teams in this league who will want Trey Mancini because he's a good baseball player.
Yeah, I don't think you get much for him.
And I think you get something for him. Because other teams, I mean, he's going to make someone else's team. So you're telling me he's good enough to be in the starting lineup of I don't know who's he's traded to, of the Cardinals or of the
Twins.
Of the Twins, because they want everybody, or of the Rangers, but he's not good enough to
Giants,
be.
Giants could have a hole.
Or the Giants, but he's not good enough to be on our starting lineup? No.
Well, remember, also, if I was Mike Elias, I would have been on the phone these past 2 weeks talking Trey Mancini up because suddenly half of baseball now can have a DH.
No, I'm saying that's part of it, right? It opens up the market for Trey Mancini to a lot more teams with a DH. It absolutely does. I would still argue that Trey Mancini means more to us than he does to any of the team, and he's a good baseball player. And I don't think he blocks anyone from a spot. He can DH. Ryan Massa, right. Mountcastle can play first.
I agree.
I don't think we have so many players that there's no room for Trey Mancini, especially this year.
I agree with all that.
Next year, maybe we can talk about it.
I agree with all that, but I think he's probably not getting an extension, which then leads to he's the only trade chip Mike Elias has right now because Duquette blew all these trade chips years ago.
You think, Josh, that leadership and clubhouse stuff is kind of BS, like just getting good baseball players and doesn't matter who's in the clubhouse?
No, I believe strongly in clubhouse leadership.
And you don't think Trey Mancini brings that better than as well as probably anyone on this planet for the Orioles?
I think that's standard. I think that's fine. But I don't think Mike Elias values clubhouse leadership, because if he did, he would have brought in a veteran pitcher, good veteran pitcher to lead this starting rotation.
Yeah.
Or a good veteran infielder to lead this squad.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's his attempt at Chris Owens, but yeah, you're right. He's not bringing in.
You had chances. You had chances to bring in a pitcher who could be a number one, number two,
number three,
and also be the veteran for these young guys. A number three.
Jordan Lyles is a number two for us, but yeah.
Right. But there's lots of guys better than him that were available.
Yeah.
Where you could have brought in a real pitcher to lead these young guys going in. You could have brought in Correa. You could have brought in Story. You could have brought in a veteran infielder to lead these young guys. If you really want veteran leadership around your young guys, it's not Trey Mancini. You've shown that you don't value that as an organization or as a GM.
Well, maybe you don't value it this year because you're not winning, but you might value it next year when you're trying to win.
But now's when you would want it. You want it when the guys are coming up.
Maybe, I guess.
If you're bringing in a veteran next year, it's not to get his leadership around the guys. It's to win baseball games.
Right. And I think Trey Mancini does that. Like, I think Trey Mancini wins baseball games for you. Like, I think he's better than what we have. Like, I think we're a worse baseball team just on the field player-wise.
Oh, I agree.
Without Trey Mancini.
I agree.
All right.
But I also think Michael Elias wants to make moves.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you do a wink, wink, nod, nod deal with Trey Mancini, go somewhere else, then you re-sign him. I think you find that.
I don't know if you want to re-sign him.
Year you re-sign him?
I'm really curious to see what type of year Mancini has.
I am too. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. Like, I think he had a good year last year. He was a stud in the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby. But, I think he has a really good year this year. I think he's more healthy than he talked about. He talked about feeling a lot better than he did last year already. And so I think he's refreshed. I think he has a good year next year. I mean, good year this coming year. And so maybe it would behoove us to hold on to him to the trade deadline. There is part of me, though, like, listen, I don't want the Orioles to trade Trey Mancini. I don't. But there is part of me that's like, for Trey Mancini's sake, let the guy play on a winning team. Like, let the guy, he's only known the Orioles his whole life. Let him play on a winning team. Yeah. So I would feel good for Trey Mancini if he goes to a winning team. Preferably the Mets. I'm going to watch a lot of Mets game anyway. Can they trade him to the Mets? I'm watching.
I would love.
I think Buck Showalter would get on board with that.
Oh yeah, totally. I'd love Trey Mancini on the Mets. We're all watching Mets games. Max Scherzer's first start will be an Apple Plus TV thing exclusive. Apple TV Plus exclusive. As Apple.
Is that versus the Nats? Is that versus the Nats?
Yeah, that's versus the Nats, I believe.
People were mad, or like they thought Masson was going to get screwed on this because it's going to be Scherzer's first start against the Nats, and they can't.
And it's
show
on Apple TV.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV instead of Masson.
Mets at Washington Nationals. Yeah. Which I'm curious, and you don't need an Apple TV Plus subscription to watch the games. The Orioles don't get on there until Friday, May 27th.
Nice. We're on there.
Yeah, we go to the Red Sox, so we're on there, which is pretty cool. They haven't announced broadcast crews for it or anything yet. I hope there's a real broadcast crew and it's not like just the Nationals broadcast, but now it's on Apple TV.
That would
be lame.
No, they're going to have real. They're going to have their own. I bet they're their own.
Right. I'm assuming it's. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I am excited that they're doing. I was reading like a 24/7 highlight channel where you can go and see all the highlights, and I think that's cool. Like sports, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a modern Sports Center take.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
So yeah,
but yeah, so no, we have a week or so of of spring training games to watch. I guess some battles to watch out play. You can kind of check those out.
This week, I think it was Saturday, where every single spring training game in the nation was on TV or on MLB.tv except for the Orioles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this ridiculous. Is a part of baseball. I don't understand. I don't understand why every spring training game's not televised. I don't understand why more minor league games aren't televised. Like, why can't I watch every Adley Rutschman game?
Right.
Like, I don't understand these things.
Do people watch poker on Masson? Like, do they get big numbers, so big numbers with poker that they're not going to put a camera in Bowie and just flip it on?
You could televise it for so cheaply, a baseball game. It doesn't even have to be that nice.
You don't even need a broadcast crew. You put one camera behind home plate and people will watch it to see these prospects.
Yeah, even you just stream it online. You put that on Masson.com. You'll get viewers.
Yeah, well, you can do that with MILB TV. I paid for that last year.
Yeah.
And some of the broadcasts suck, but it still was nice to have on.
Yeah. It just feels like common sense stuff that doesn't happen.
Agreed.
Also, that $4 is a nice discount, but can I ask you a question? I saw someone tweet this out on the right. If you do inflation, what was $4 then should be $12 now. So why aren't kind of all tickets $12?
because the salaries are way different than what they were in the 90s also.
Yeah, I guess, but I just don't understand. This is another kind of common sense thing about baseball. I don't understand. No one comes to the games at Camden Yards, so why don't you make the tickets a lot cheaper?
Like, so that you sell food.
Demand. Yeah, so you sell food.
Well, I saw a baseball player.
Get a better atmosphere, a better viewing experience for both people at home and at the stadium.
A baseball player tweeted earlier this week, if you want baseball to grow, baseball at all levels should be free for kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, makes sense. Why not?
Yep. If I could go free, I could take my kids for free, we would go to a lot more games.
Kids under 12 should be free to every game, no matter what, across baseball.
Yep. Yeah, that seems like common sense to me.
Yeah. No. Too bad the season's starting, because I feel like we could do an episode, an hour long, of things we don't understand about baseball.
Yeah. Like why Max Scherzer can just throw 75 pitches in the first spring training game. Or no, not why he can do it. Why can't every other pitcher do it? Just go out there and throw 75 pitches.
And how are his eyes two different colors, but he can still see perfectly fine?
Really a baseball question.
You're bringing in Max Scherzer. I feel like two different color eyes should screw with your depth perception or something.
Your eye color has connected to your depth perception? Do you think your eye color has something to do with how you see? You think people with red eyes see differently than people with green eyes?
I assume people
with blue eyes seem different than green eyes. No, they're just, no, that doesn't affect what or how you see, the color of your eyes.
It's got to affect something. It's not random. Nothing's random.
No, you think you like see things a little bit more blue because you have blue eyes? Get out of here.
Eye color.
Eye color is just a genetic thing. It has nothing to do with your vision. Just a random genetic, like your hair color. Does your hair color have anything to do with anything else?
No. Let's see.
I should have ended the podcast.
Your eye color does not affect sharpness. But it does affect your visual comfort in certain situations because of pigment melanin. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, all right, fine. That's a good note to end on. Can we get out of here?
Yeah. Unless you want to do a second episode on eye color.
No, I was Googling something.
Or you want to talk about Antonio Brown wearing a Hollywood Brown jersey and posing in like sexy pictures on Instagram, selfies.
No, I'm not aware of that news story, but as long as I think Hollywood Brown's here, we'll hear Antonio Brown's stories. So, and I'm okay with that. You can keep the stories coming.
Until he becomes that video game streamer or whatever that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how's that working out? Who's that source? Who was that guy?
Right, I don't remember who that guy was. So, yeah, we can get out of here.
All right.
It's season starts next week. Now's the time for people to go on over to Apple and give us some reviews.
Yeah, go tell your friends. We'll be here the whole season to comment on the O's. I'm excited to actually talk about some baseball games you can watch on Masson starting a couple weeks here.
Next week we'll be live on Facebook.
All right, we'll do some bold predictions.
And not just bold predictions, also our season predictions.
Yep, our season predictions. Vegas, by the way, Josh has the Orioles, I think, at 62.5 wins. So we can talk about that next week. How we feel about
the over on that
number? I've been burned too many times, Josh.
Orioles have not hit
the overs recently.
I have no money in my bookie right now because the Ravens completely screwed me this season.
I think the Orioles. I tell you what, I listened to Baseball Tonight podcast, Buster Olney, talking about the Orioles. He said he would literally bet the farm on the Orioles under at 62.5. Buster Olney surprisingly said there's no way the Orioles get to 62 63 wins, I guess.
That's tough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be a fun episode next week.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I wonder if Zany Burt wants to come in for that for some predictions.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about betting on the Orioles when we don't know who our third, fourth, or fifth starter is. Like that's
the horrible part.
Yeah,
so we'll have to know. Hopefully, we know more by next Monday.
Yeah, if I knew we were rocking like Kyle Bradish and some of these other prospects, I'd feel a little better about it.
What if we bumped the show to like Thursday night? We would definitely know by Thursday night, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know when they have to have rosters set by.
I think Friday morning.
Yeah. But I would think they would know before that, right?
Yeah. Hopefully by the Monday, Tuesday, we know and we can do our show.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but go ahead and, like Josh said 10 minutes ago, write us a review on iTunes. It's a good time to do it. Tell your friends about Section 336. Follow us on social media.
Yep. Keep spreading the word.
Yep.
Now's a great time to get your kids into the Orioles because the future's bright, just not this year.
Yep. And we're a family-friendly podcast. No cursing. No right. No bad talking. No.
No, that your 8-year-old.
No inappropriate jokes.
Nope. No politics. No politics over here.
No politics. There was a little episode during the pandemic, but we're done with that. No politics.
I don't think we ever want politics. I think people just turned everything into politics.
Yeah, I think we said the word COVID, which is too toxic at that point. But no, anyway, go ahead and follow us on social media. Follow me.
No more COVID on Section 336.
Yeah, that's right. Even though we're still doing it at separate locations, just to be safe. Me and you in Florida, me in Maryland, covering our 6 feet to be safe. Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Section 336. You follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Rucker.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. Chance to be the other bad birds, have we run this town?